Ooh, it's quiet. Well, that's fine. Get that a little bit up. Welcome to Mind Games. I'm here this week with casters for Arms from Smash and Splash, and they actually just finished casting the European Arms Open, Deefer and Shrimps. Going to be talking about Arms, the community. You know, it's a small game, but if you've been following my Twitter or heard anything I've said, I've been just constantly kind of taken aback by how fantastic they are. So we're gonna go to some Insane in the Rain music, and then we'll be right back with Deefer and Shrimps.
It's good. How are you?
Good. Had a nice little day at work. Got caught the tail end of your 5-hour spree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane.
Shout out to Jetta for that win.
Yeah. Shout outs to the Swede pulling through, taking that tournament. That was
he made
sweet.
Us wait till grand finals, but yeah, he did it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've just about recovered from that marathon now. I just had some coffee now, so now...
Good.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Deefer and Shrimps, I guess, introduce yourselves a little bit so people know whose voice is whose.
Yeah, sure. I am Shrimps. I am a Twitch broadcaster, team owner, and general esports entrepreneur. And I've done a whole lot of ARM stuff. I suppose that's why I'm here.
I'm Deefer, or Dennis. And I have been making a lot of stuff for the ARMS community. Casting a lot of tournaments, but I've been making, you know, stream overlays for people and all around just trying to help the game grow in different ways. Making videos and whatnot, like content creation, stuff like that. So... been kind of all over the place, so it's kind of hard to nail down specifically what I've done, but a few things here and there.
In terms of finding a stream layout for me personally, when I get back to California, yeah. I hopefully
that's
get
a part.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a capture card. I need to be able to play my games on stream. So
yeah, that's a plus.
Gotta have those connections. That's what the esports is all about right now. It's just make sure you're getting those connections.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Oh, my God, yes.
Hold on. Oh, it was like I lost my little topics sheet.
Oh.
So, yeah. I guess we'll just hop into it. A lot of people obviously don't know ARMS. It's a real small community. I am obviously real new to it. I really only got into it after Smash and Splash 4. And so I guess what are the origins? Because I honestly don't know kind of how the scene started. Because I know some of Deefer, I think you are also someone that had the game on day one, right?
Yeah. And I think some people that are still in the community are a part of that flock, I guess. But yeah, it's just I think people are coming a bit from everywhere because the game, I don't know how to explain the game from the beginning, but it's a fighting game, but it's very different to other fighting games. And it's been gathering people from many different communities. Like myself, I've been more into shooters and the RTS games like, you know, StarCraft and Team Fortress, Counter-Strike, that kind of games. But now this kind of segmented me into the FGC and kind of fighting games. And I think there's a lot of people from Smash because it's a Nintendo game. But I think there's also people coming from all over the place with, you know, what any kind of game, actually.
Scrimps?
Yo. Yeah, so I was also in on day one, pre-ordered the game. I had been a humongous Smash Brothers fan and played a little bit competitively before ARMS came out. So as soon as I saw a new Nintendo fighting IP was coming out, all over it.
Yeah.
And then right when I got the game, that's when I started streaming on Twitch. So for me, the Twitch growth came right along with ARMS, like as I was falling in love with the game, and it all just kind of made a perfect storm. And Defer actually ended up reaching out to me, saying that he owned a team. And that's when I was introduced to Fellows in ARMS, started having some of them on to commentate with me. But the game itself is extremely unique for fighters because there is no right and wrong thing to do. You can completely design your own playstyle and impose that on somebody, which was the most intriguing thing to me, since there are 42 different ARMS and you can put either one on either side of your body. So to me, that's what drew me immediately. I was like, wow, there is built-in balance in this game and it looks spectacular.
I mean, quick question. So are there any, is there like a meta that has characters that are basically unplayable versus, you know, top tier characters? I feel like I see a pretty decent spread of more or less all the characters in the game.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you're coming from. Like if you're someone who comes from Smash, for example, then you have this kind of image of how a roster should look like, you know, and how tiers right. should look like. And in Smash, you know, there are characters that basically no one plays, or everyone has just agreed that they're the worst and they're unplayable. But in ARMS, one of the significant differences is that there isn't a specific move set. The characters have different abilities that differentiate them, of course, but they all have the same basic stuff. And there's no kind of combos in the same way that there are in other fighting games like Tekken or Street Fighter. So all the characters have a pretty similar base, which, you know, there are some that are a bit worse because, I don't know, maybe someone hasn't really found a way to utilize them yet, but in no way they're not unplayable like in other fighting games where you can't use a certain character against another one because the matchup could be like, oh, you lose 60 or 70% of the time. It's just useless to try it. Even in ARMS, it's feels like pretty much any character has the ability to win, basically.
And realistically, the game is still growing and that people are still learning kind of like new combinations that work and new tech for the game.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, it's the meta is always something that's changing in all games, I think, but I think there are still some things I see now and then, especially looking at the Japanese players who are so into the game, like they're playing so much and they keep finding these new weird things that maybe they don't even talk about it, but when you see them play, you see that they're doing something that you're not used to, or and you know, there are labbing people that are still trying to figure out if there are things that we've missed and stuff like that. So yeah, I think some small things are still getting uncovered still. I don't know if you agree with me, Scrimps, but
absolutely, the meta, we just keep seeing it change because every time there's some set on a character that wins a big major, you'll see an influx of people playing that. And then you'll see also an influx of players using the quote-unquote lower tier arms. But really, they weren't low tier ever. They were just meant to counter these specific things that hadn't found their way to the meta yet. So a lot of the discovery and a lot of the mixing up of sets is still yet to be seen or yet to be done in ARMS because it hasn't been needed yet.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I, at Smash and Splash, coming as someone who, you know, I used to play League, came into the FGC with Smash, I felt like when I was watching ARMS at SNS, it felt like every player had their own play style. Every match was pretty distinctly different. I think there were a couple matches of like back-to-back, I think maybe Springman dittos?
Mm. Yeah.
Either Springman or Springtron dittos. I was just like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. And and there was a lot of twin tail dittos too in especially the later parts of that tournament. But I don't know, like for it's nice to hear actually from someone who's not too much into the game, because for me, when I see so much personality in every play style. So now at this point, I'm like, I can take a look at a player and the set that they're using, and I can probably guess which player it is just from maybe like at least one or two guesses. So it's just like there's a lot of personality that exists in this kind of customization and just how you have the freedom to move, because in a lot of fighters, you're only moving on a 2D plane, but since you can actually move around a bit, like even more freely than you can in Pokken, I would say, because you can just, like Pokken has one phase where you have like a 3D fighter, but it's a very kind of restricted area. But in ARMS, like just how you move, to me, like you can see personality shine from that. But maybe you can't if you're not into it. I'm like, that's what I was going to say.
I definitely see that a lot of people, and it's the same with, I think, Smash. There are some players that have very particular movement in a, you know, I guess topical, if you can figure out what day we're recording. Armada just got upset by S2J, and S2J has a very particular Captain Falcon that is distinctly different from Nun or Lucky or Wizzy. Mm. And you know, I, as someone who I generally don't like Falcon, I love seeing the differences between their movement. And so when I got to see that with ARMS, seeing how some people do favor jumping and aerial movement versus ground movement, and how that plays such a significant difference in each matchup.
Yeah, it's there's so much to say about those kind of minuscule things, but I love it. That's like what I love the most about the game, is just like how you can see how someone is, like you can see how they feel and how they act just by how they move in the game, like with their avatar. It's kind of very strange and hard to explain, I think, but at Smash and Splash, one of the examples, maybe the one that you were thinking of, was that there was two Springman players. And I remember, because me and Scrimps actually casted that, like Para versus Resolve. I don't know.
Yep.
I played that character too, and I kept like ranting on that Para was jumping too much in like the wrong situations. And and it was so hard to not say it, because I was just feeling it myself. It's just like, oh, why is he doing this? But I mean, he knew more than I did, because he had gotten way further into the tournament than I did at that point. So and that's also one of the things that I just keep getting surprised by certain things in the game. So
yeah, the movement options can be dictated by either your character choice or your arm choice or a combination of both, So in the case of the Ditto Springman that we're talking about, both of those players have a pretty grounded style of boxing where they just want to dash in front of where the fist is coming and parry it down and keep throwing punches as opposed to shielding or deflecting through. So what you end up seeing is, like you're saying, Parra was becoming more aerial. Well, he had to, because they were just in such a stalemate from their like pre-existing muscle memory with that character and with the double gloves on. And it's a big contrast from like Dr. Coyle, who literally can't touch the ground.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like I said that before, right? That the base of the characters are so similar, but when you actually, you know, take another look, there's a lot of things that are different. But
yeah, they're similar in the fact that they have dash, jump, and shield.
Yeah,
and then their special ability is what separates them.
Yeah. So in terms of tournaments, I know that there's been a handful of tournaments in the kind of recent past between Smash and Splash, Hyrule Saga, Evo was I think a side tournament.
Yes.
And then there's something soon that I know a lot of people are going to.
Yeah, it's probably like the Summer Jam, I believe.
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But beyond that, what is the competitive scene like in terms of tournament structure? Because I know, you know, there are informal tournaments that Scrimps run. You run a tournament every week, correct?
Yeah. So I have like 5 different tournament series that I do, and I guess you could call some of them informal, but we've had some with prize pots over $500. So some of them are very much official and well run, and like we have specific lag rules written out. And some informal though, indeed.
But so is the competitive scene within ARMS more driven by stream tournaments and kind of Wi-Fi tournaments, or do in-person tournaments kind of also pull a solid brunt of the weight?
I think in ARMS' case, it has been the opposite. Like we've gathered online, and like the community has gathered online, and then we pool that community for certain events such as Smash and Splash, which was really like if you just had the event and then someone ran ARMS there, then probably no one would have showed up. But everyone just kind of worked together online to say, okay, this is the event that we're going to gather to, so let's just kind of take people from all over and then just go to this. And, you know, that all over encompasses, you know, America, of course, but also me and I think 3 or 4 other people from Europe flew over. And we had 5 players from Japan, 1 player from Pakistan. So it's and I think the majority of the tournaments that are happening like constantly is online, and you know, a lot thanks to Scrimps and partly myself. I don't do it as often as Scrimps, but I did one now previously, as we talked about. But there are a couple of other people who are doing these kind of tournaments too. I think also that's a kind of interesting point of ARMS, that it's probably one of the first fighting games that are based on the online community and then has been trying to work itself towards the local community instead, like, of, you know, being very local and being kind of restricted to being local because the net coding in the game is too bad or the experience just doesn't work. ARMS, on the other hand, has a really solid net coding and a really good online experience, which, I mean, I can play from Europe to North America without much of a problem. And I think that's kind of, it's huge. I think that's a really big thing for fighting games in general. So I think ARMS in that sense is a new a part of a new era.
Having audio issues.
Yes.
You're back now.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard?
You were talking about in Smash.
And Nintendo.
Oh. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I don't know what just happened. Odd. Every once in a while, Nintendo, in terms of playing online, just does it wrong. Like when... When Mario Tennis Aces came out, initially the online was set up as like P2P. And so you could only realistically play if you were decently local. And so I had a couple friends who were like, yeah, we can't play because no one online plays in India. Sorry. RIP.
Yeah, that one's been tough. I've been running a weekly for Mario Tennis Aces as well, and it's noticeably worse than the ARMS connections are.
Oh. Yeah, so, and go ahead.
I was just going to say ask about the other limitations, because you are a really small scene, you guys pretty consistently band together, and I mean, it seems like even in the Midwest, and I guess Scrimps, you can attest to this best, the Midwest has a lot of players. Really good players in Illinois, Michigan, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana.
Yep.
Like, I think it's kind of cool. As someone from the Midwest, it's kind of cool to see the Midwest have the power in a game. We don't get that usually.
It's cool. I mean, the Smash community in Michigan is one of the best in the world. I know that. And the Chicago Smash community as well. So, it's cool being that near to it. But like you're saying, our community is so small. You really can't compare ARMS as a game to other fighters or as a community, because the only way we've been able to make ARMS what it is by, from day one, deciding we were going to band together as a community with like forces of, as cheesy as it sounds, we really are like super, super positive. There's almost nobody toxic in our whole community. Yeah. And it goes to show, because we always get community funding. They'll send out top players just because they want to see ARMS make it. And it's been really cool to see how tightly knit the group is and how we can all act in one direction and make things happen.
I mean, I'm just going to fangirl over one of the moments at Smash and Splash. There was a point where I don't remember how it started, but you had, I think it was Ku, Pega, and someone else just USA chanting when I want to say it was Para versus someone.
I think it was Para versus Pega.
Or
maybe Abu, one of those two.
It was definitely one of those two, and it was Japanese players with the USA channel. Like, you guys are just... There was no, like, animosity whatsoever between players. You know, more often than not, a match would end, both players get off stage, and it's just a giant hug. Yep. You guys have a lot of, you know, when people talk about grassroots communities and being tight-knit, I feel like, in my mind, ARMS has become kind of this, like, forefront of what that means. Because even if there's, like, little things within the community that you have issue with, I think you guys band together to make sure that those issues get addressed and that you can grow as a community.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. I mean, Smash and Splash was such a good example of just all of those things happening at the same time. I like
limitations is just consoles, correct?
Yeah. Or do you mean like the physical console, or how? Or sorry, I didn't catch that.
Hold on. I'm going to pause for a sec and restart Discord. I think this is just like an issue with Discord and my audio interface.
All right.
Give me one sec.
I think Craig is still listening though.
All right, I'm back.
All right.
So what I was saying was, you know, you guys obviously are running a lot online, and it's incredible that a community is able to do things more online than locally, because it does give a lot of opportunity to people who can't go to events. In terms of growing local scenes, I know one of the limitations is probably consoles, right? But what are other kind of limitations to running ARMS?
So I think ARM's biggest issue, honestly, is the age demographic for local tournaments. I'm talking about for offlines. I actually ran the ARMS tournament at Showdown Battle Royale 3 in Michigan. And the physical consoles you need, the equipment you need, that'll always be an issue, but that is like the very surface level of any gaming event.
Sure.
And for me, it doesn't really make sense why offline events are more popular than online events to me, because everyone can access the internet. Anybody with a console and a game can go in and play online, and that's not the case for an offline tournament. If you don't have a driver's license, it's then a trip for you and however many family members are coming with you. It's not just funding for an individual anymore. So that's a big issue. I suppose every other issue you could chalk up would just be a general, what are the costs of getting to a venue and setting a thing up as opposed to turning your console on?
Yeah, right. I think the actual like issue or non-issue of consoles is going to drastically decrease in the near future, because we're going to have, besides Smash Ultimate, which is going to sell a lot of Switches, I think there's just a lot of other fighters that are coming out to the Switch as well. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see that this like really mobile console is going to be like, you know, we're going to have almost too many of them. like everyone can bring them to their local. So instead of having to bring, you know, a full PS4 setup with a TV screen, you know. I think there is, you know, the problems of growing the locals is just kind of, I feel like it's very hard to control, because ARMS it's a new IP, it's on a new console that doesn't have a lot of installed base, and it's on a new, like it's using a new online service. It's like a lot of things is going on at the same time. So that's why I think it's also really hard to compare it to other games like Smash, for example, that has now been around for kind of a while, and Street Fighter that's been around for decades, you know, to actually have that, recognition that, oh, okay, this game, like most people don't even know what the game is, you know? So I think there's a lot of thing that builds to, like a lot of things that builds to a whole, to work against,
yeah.
difficulties of building locals, but
On that note of people don't even know what this game is, I think one of the first and biggest mistakes that was made with the marketing for ARMS was showing motion controls and advertising it as a motion control game. Because right there, that takes any competitive fighting game player and they'll never look at this game ever again because they think it's a motion control game. When in reality, there are 3 players in the world who can compete with motion. Like, yeah. It's entirely irrelevant to our competitive scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It's like it's a big topic, I feel. Like the struggles, basically, of what, not what is stopping us. That sounds too negative, but just like...
We definitely haven't been stopped.
No, exactly. That's what I'm also saying. But it's just, there is difficulties in building locals for everyone, I think, in any game. But just in ARMS cases, there's like a lot of outside stuff that is like working against it, like how it was presented or...
Yeah, I'm curious to see how when everybody switches over to... switches over to the Switch... Hey. When Smash Ultimate comes out, I'm curious to see if that will just automatically, right there are Switch consoles, ARMS is on the Switch. Will that increase the amount of people going to offline events?
Kind of an extension to that, Shrimps. I wanted to ask if, do you guys think that with Nintendo, I think pretty decidedly going into esports more and hopefully investing money into it, do you think they will kind of go and start resupporting games like ARMS and Splatoon?
For Splatoon, they're definitely supporting that heavily, right. And that has a thriving and growing scene. In terms of the word you used, resupport, I think they will look at the game sales, look at where the game stands now at a competitive level, and see that it not only does have legs, but it did have legs from day one. And I think we're going to get a sequel. And when that happens, then there will be a ton of support.
And just a brief aside, I'll be really heartbroken if they don't put Spring Man or someone in Smash.
Like, yeah, just anybody, right? Oh. Just one character. How could you not? It's like shooting yourself in the foot.
I just want to see how they do it.
Yeah,
I just want to know what they're like. All right, this is how we're gonna implement an ARMS character in Smash.
There's so many ways they could do it too. Like, I think one of the coolest aspects that could come from putting ARMS in Smash is the air grab, because ARMS characters have that huge long grab that they can do from anywhere. So if you add that as an element into Smash and people are grabbing you from 20 feet away, that's a whole new dynamic to Smash that hasn't been in it before.
Oh. God, just dreaming about it.
Damn it.
So there's that. They could do like each different Smash direction or whatever direction B move you're using is a different arm. You don't necessarily have to stick with like, okay, Springman has his default arms. You wouldn't need to do that. You could do anything you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm crossing my fingers, but I don't have my hopes up too high because I don't know. Something doesn't feel right.
If you go on the website, there's 3 columns and there's 2 empty spaces, and I don't think they're gonna just leave those blank. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, I mean in terms of Nintendo reinvesting into esports, I remember when I want to say it was Splatoon 2 came out, they kind of went live with Nintendo Versus. And I was really hoping that would be their kind of foray into investing into games. Initially, I knew they weren't going to invest into Smash just because there's the issue of investing into Melee and UCF mods, things like that. But investing into their own IPs, I thought, okay, this is great. And, you know, obviously they have supported Splatoon pretty well. But they haven't really taken that next step into putting more into other games. I think that's what separates a lot of companies. I think a lot of companies want to invest in one game, and I'm concerned that they will just say, okay, well, Ultimate comes out, do we just invest in Smash?
I think from a like company standpoint, because I always like this think about how Nintendo sees it, like from their point of view, and like try, because I think that Nintendo, in a sense, they look at even broader perspectives than we are. Like, we're kind of focusing on, oh, is this title going to be good? But I think at the executive level of Nintendo, they're probably just thinking like, oh, within this time span of 5 to 10 years, what do we see this investment of this, like, what this esports thing, you know? And I feel like, especially with the Switch, it's been super clear to me that how they've been kind of testing out esports. There was an interview with Yabuki, who is the producer for Mario Kart and ARMS, and he has been saying in several interviews that, well, Nintendo doesn't really know what esports is. They're trying to figure it out, and like ARMS and I myself am a part of that process, but we don't really know yet. And I really feel that they've been trying some different things. For example, how to do a ranking system in Splatoon and ARMS, and how to do online lobbies, how to actually support the game. And I feel when you see it in that, like when you see the timeline of when the Switch was released, like how they reimported, I guess, the Pokken game with an established fan base. They made a new kind of test IP with the fighting game. And then Smash comes, and it's like, okay, when then they kind of probably learned from some of the things that they did with ARMS and Pokken and Splatoon. But there's no telling of what comes next. I'm like, maybe, you know, they have these, the Nintendo World Championships, you know,
back like, in the late 80s, early 90s.
No, but they still go on. Like
they did one last year at E3.
Yeah.
Oh God, I forgot. This is, I guess they did. Yeah, they did bring it back.
Yeah, and it just feels like Nintendo, at some point, that they're struggling. To me, it feels like they're struggling to kind of figure out what they're going to do with this. This esports thing that they can't really ignore, but it's not a part of what they want it to be.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of frustrating and heartbreaking sometimes to be very passionate about something owned by Nintendo sometimes, but then I'm also excited to see how they're developing it, and like, maybe their version of esports is something that I'll eventually come to love, but I don't, if they don't know what it is, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, so it's, there are a couple things for me. To say like Nintendo doesn't know what esports are, that's a little harsh. Like, obviously they have a research team, they know what's going on, but they have this such a strong sense of self and such an unwillingness to bend to current trends.
Yeah,
that it was a perfect example with the Smash Ultimate Invitation. They did a competitive video game tournament, you can call it that, but yeah, look at the format that they did. They did a 1v1v1v1 into a 2v2 back into a 1v1, and it's like, well, that's, you're not actually taking a sampling of what the best players can do. You're just playing Mario Kart at this point, you know?
Yeah, it was so, just a competition.
It's like Nintendo needs to decide if they are interested in breaking out of that mold at all, because they're so rigidly 100% for fun and against prize pools. That's their biggest thing and always has been. And like, they won't allow prize pots in their games, they won't support anything that has money involved in it. And at some point, there's going to be no choice but to either support the competitive scenes that are already happening, that already have money involved in them, or completely pull out all your affiliation and your competitive gaming and just make all RNG games forever.
Yeah.
And I think the Smash Ultimate Invitational is just the pinnacle of what we're talking about right now. Like, yes, they organized a tournament. Yes, they brought the best players, but that was just to show off a game, and it was to show off like how crazy the items can be and the 2v2 formats. And they aren't allowing anybody else to tell them what a competitive scene looks like.
Yeah. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but ARMS has a really strong following within Japan, because I think part of the reason Nintendo wants to kind of maintain the no money involved, no gambling, is because they are a very, very Japanese company. And, you know, that's not a knock against them. But do they do anything within Japan?
Yeah, so I just came back from a 3 weeks trip to Japan, where I kind of tried to interact and go to all of the Japanese events as much as I could, like the Japanese ARMS events, of course. Yeah, it's actually interesting to see how obviously they've been supporting the Japanese ARMS scene more than they have outside of Japan. They've made one online tournament in America and Canada once, mm-hmm. which was live streamed through via their headquarters. And yeah, there was no prize pool. There was
It was
really cool. But yeah, I was just saying, like, it wasn't the prize was artwork and some autographs, I think. And in Japan, they went all in with ARMS. Like, in the beginning, they had this tour where they had a big tournament in all the cities, all the major cities for ARMS.
The Grand Prix, right?
Yeah, the Japan Grand Prix. And they, you know, they crowned a champion of every city. And then at the end, they had all these champions, plus like a children's champion and like an online tournament champion, face each other in Tokyo to win this like wrestling belt at like a what is it, the conference. And it's like, it was really amazing to see, but then the kind of, you know, the esports soul inside of me was like hurting to see like the rule sets were being kind of random and like for fun. They were only doing best of ones, a single elimination for tournaments with 300 plus people.
Yeah, with randomized stages. It's like they're right there.
Yeah, it's like they're so close. They're so close to being what everything else like is doing and trying to implement, but it feels just like some kind of stubbornness. And but they for sure were investing a lot. Now the second year of ARMS, they have announced that they're doing a quote-unquote season two of the ARMS Grand Japan Grand Prix, but this time it's only going to be one tournament in Tokyo and one tournament in Kyoto. Yeah, it's definitely the strongest community of ARMS, I would say, is within Japan right now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's where Nintendo has pushed people to be. And right now, esports is booming like crazy in this country, where you can travel to, you know, from Tokyo and Kyoto is some hour via their fast speed trains. So it's like, it's all laid out for them, you know?
I just want someone to... I need that infrastructure in the US, good Lord.
Right. Yeah.
We're so spread out here.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff happening there. And the culture is so different. Like, I went to two local tournaments, for example. And one tournament had... it was single elimination with random stages, best of one, you know. Yep.
AKA Evo Japan.
Yeah. And I mean, And before that, they had that tournament. They had the thing where they like, oh, we were 30 or something people. And they divided everyone into four teams. And then they would play best of ones representing your team. So it was like a crew battle that they just split up. And it was, you know, the atmosphere was just, oh, we're just here for fun, you know. I think when you have laws that don't allow prize pools and the culture in Japan, it just felt right, you know. If I had played in that tournament in America, I would have got so angry probably. But right. In Japan, it was just everyone wants that, so it's just. I'm not sure if maybe they would want something else, but at that time it just felt fun, you know? So maybe that's what they're thinking, that maybe the rest of the world just wants to have fun, but they don't.
I mean, it's just Nintendo being Nintendo. I mean, look at the consoles that they release. Look at the Wii U and the Wii. They're always just trying to bring the most fun thing. And if it's mainstream, then they purposefully turn away from it.
I mean, I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think we are seeing that they're willing to turn into it with the Switch. The Wii, obviously, they supported for seemingly forever. And the Wii U just never really took off. I mean, conceptually, the Wii U is a great system. And it does have a lot of really good games, but
I mean, I thought, I mean, I'm a avid gamer and I'm like, I've been competitive since I was 14, you know, but I didn't even know that Wii U was a new console until like 2 years after it got released. I thought it was an add-on to Wii, so it's just,
they marketed it poorly. It failed in a lot of different ways, but I honestly think it was doomed to fail before it even hit the shelves, just because it was poorly set up.
Yeah,
but it's the thing I was trying to point out is that they're always purposely trailblazing instead of riding in any sort of current theme that's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I agree with. I mean, I think they're more than happy to push the bounds in terms of IPs and in terms of what their technology can do. But they're like, well, we're doing this. You guys can do other things.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've always looked at Nintendo as the Apple of game development, because it's like they have their way of doing things. They have their own models. They have their own style that they want to go with. And if that's not what you want, then that's not what you want. And that's your problem. Yeah, and I think all of these kind of changes, even though that it seems like Nintendo is adapting now with esports, I still feel like it's going to take a lot of time, because I still think that when Nintendo plans things out, they're not planning things out like some year ahead. They're legit planning out 10 years ahead, because that's, I don't know, that's the feeling I get from how some of the things that they roll out, you know, and how Japanese companies usually works and stuff like that. You know, Square Enix and whatnot with their really. Yeah, no, but we're not going to get in too much into that. But I think it's going to take time, though. It's not going to change like in some year. Suddenly, we're going to have this like huge, like Nintendo sponsoring a stadium at the Olympics to include Smash in, like, it's like, you could, I mean, if Nintendo was like Blizzard, maybe, you know, but it's not the same company.
Yeah, I have high hopes that Nintendo will do it well, but I know that it's going to take a few mishaps. Just like, all right, Nintendo, you can't be forcing us to play on random stages with stage hazards.
Like, I mean, no. I feel like and I feel like probably everyone's going to disagree with me, but if Nintendo can convince me that something of this is fun, or like something that can be fun and competitive, I don't think it exists now, obviously, but if they can create something that does not exist but has these elements of being fun and competitive, and it can still be esports, I want to see what that is. Like, I'm open to that.
Oh, we're gonna see that. That's all Nintendo's capable of.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that I'm excited for. Like, right now, I'm frustrated because that doesn't exist, and they're trying to do that, but it doesn't really work. But if it actually did work, that they can combine fun with competitive, then I'm like, oh my god, you can make esports way more accessible. You can get people from anywhere to play this. Like, I don't know. It's a huge topic, but I feel like if Nintendo can hit the like jackpot with this, then it can expand what esports is and do a lot of really cool things. But yeah, right now we're kind of in the, what is it? The middle, what is it?
Purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I knew what it's called in Swedish, but forget the English word. But yeah, exactly like that. So not as dramatic, but you get what I mean.
So I wanted to kind of get back into ARMS a little bit. One of the things that always kind of strikes me is how just connected all of you guys are. You know, the ARMS community seems super, super passionate about helping each other out and learning together. I mean, it was something that I saw shared even with a language barrier at Smash and Splash between the Japanese players and the North American players.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you can finish your thoughts.
Oh, I was just going to say, first and foremost, I mean, does that camaraderie exist within the Japanese community, and how does that camaraderie play a role in helping the community grow?
I mean, that's been one of the major things that I think I've been pushing for since I began with ARMS. Like, I wanted to be the person to connect other people in the community to strengthen it, and like, I don't want to sound like a crazy person and take credit for a lot of things. I think a lot of people did that themselves, but I think there's a lot of other people like me in the community, but it's just instead of focusing on being just, I want to be the best, I want to be the biggest, everyone has come into this game, or not everyone, but a lot of people, and just thought, okay, but I'm going to connect with other people that I can help and they can help me, and together that can like become something more. And that's been localized in Japan by themselves, like isolated, but then also in outside of Japan. So one of the things that I did, for example, was that I reached out, because I speak a bit of Japanese, and I reached out to the Japanese community and like tried to I had this interview with the Japanese player when we basically weren't communicating, the Japanese community and the foreign one, we weren't talking at all. And I set up an interview that I posted on YouTube to kind of like weed out some questions that we had no idea how they were doing it in Japan. And then after that, more people started to get into like Discords, the Japanese Discords. People were setting up like translation bots and stuff like that. And then I think it just grew from that they saw, oh, even though we can't really understand each other, we really love this thing, so we can connect over that. And, you know, it's really shows in its simplest form when you can't really talk to each other, because at Smash and Splash, it's just like, it's so obvious that these people just like being around each other, but they also have this game here. They can't even talk to each other, but they're fine. Like, one of the best considered players in America, Gore Magala,
and Pega, probably the best player in the world, but also in Japan. Like whenever they meet at events, they just sit next to each other with the Switches and play versus each other for hours.
Incredible.
And they don't even, they don't even talk. They like every time you see them, you just see them sitting against like on the floor somewhere, and then they have both of their Switches on, and then they're just like playing without saying anything for 2 hours until their, I guess their battery runs out, and then they're just like nodding at each other and like splits up. But you can tell that it's like an important moment for them. Sorry, I was like became like a long rant there, but I think the camaraderie of ARMS has just been kind of there from the start. And I think that since the people that came in there from the beginning had that, it gave incitement to other people joining in. It's like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do things. Oh, you're supposed to be nice to people. It's not like... and sorry, I hope this doesn't like bash the Smash community too much, but every time I've been trying to get into Smash now after ARMS, even I go to like a local here in Sweden and I'm like, oh, I don't know anything. I know that if I did that in ARMS, people would be like, oh, cool. I can help you. I can just sit with you for like weeks and just talk to you. If I do that in Smash, it's like, I don't know anything. They're like, well, then you suck. We're not going to show you. Yeah, like we're not going to show you any mercy. Like just we're going to beat your ass until you get good. And it's just like, wow, okay, that sounds really inviting. like that's the feeling I've been getting now. Even going to Japan, I asked the Japanese Smash community like, oh, hey, cool. Oh, there's a tournament. Can I just buy a controller and come? They're like, yeah, but don't expect anyone to be nice to you in the brackets. I'm like, I didn't want to. I just wanted to play a game, you know?
Respectful would work.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's different. I don't know. Yeah. Do you agree with me on that point, Scrimps?
Yeah, a lot of what you said, I definitely agree with. I think the, like, from the genesis of the community, ARMS was apart from anything else because it was an original, brand new game as opposed to a sequel or something that we'd seen before. So I know that I personally viewed it as like, wow, this is a really big opportunity to bring this game from brand new baby mode into, you know, I want to stand next to Mortal Kombat and Justice and DBZ. Like, I want to be right there with those games playing this game because I think it's more balanced, more unique, and more fun than any of those games. And I think that everybody kind of had that feeling in the beginning, like, wow, this is brand new. This is super fun. And all anybody wanted to do was get better at the game or invite more people into the game. And I think since day one, it's been everyone focused on making the scene better and not just like trying to climb the ranks because there weren't any ranks to climb in the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms, you know, one thing that Deeper was saying was, you can sit down and learn the game with anyone and just sit in for hours. And that was something that I loved about the community when I got into kind of the Discords, where I would hop in, play some casuals, and then when I would do something wrong, the person would message me, like, hey, like, keep an eye out for this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think that kind of developed in the scene and kind of across cultures for the scene? This concept of like everyone in it for each other's benefit.
I think one of the bases of it is just the kind of the underdog mentality, like of the smallest game will always have that kind of thing as a part of it. I think there's other factors too, of course, but you know, like fighting game communities has Smash as their little brother, and then Smash's little brother is ARMS, I feel almost, and it's just like you want to prove yourself. And one of the ways of doing that is just, you know, helping and making sure you look good. So if ARMS would be the biggest game out there, then maybe
it would have looked different.
Yeah,
I think at least, but
it would.
Yeah, and it's but I think just what kind of helped it to become like that was just that the fact that no one knew anything. Like now when Smash Ultimate releases, there's going to be someone that has played Snake from Brawl for 8 years. And it's like, oh, okay, but you know, if once you've played this character for 4 years, then talk to me. But in ARMS, it's just like, well, we both just start playing this game 2 weeks ago. I found something. Do you want me to share this info? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like the vast number of possibilities in the game. Like a new player could jump in the game, strap on a new set of arms, and say, "I like playing like this," and then you have a new style that nobody else has even used yet.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just a combination of like being very small and also being very new and unique, I think, just helped that. And now being in the age that we are in with streams, you have these personal streams where people are just streaming a lobby with 8 people and you can talk to them. It's just inviting and more friendly in that way. And also maybe something that kind of made it more easy to be online. You could just join someone's stream like that and talk to them and exchange information in an easier way.
I assume that I'm pretty biased because I am a streamer and I saw the community from day one grow up online. But yeah. Like I don't allow any negativity in my chat whatsoever. And I know a lot of people have that same attitude.
Yeah.
So it was like from day one, when a new person would come on and be like, oh, there's an online community for this game. And they'd hop in, like, the only thing is fun and positivity. There was nobody, literally nobody, who would say outlandish things. And if they did, the rest of the community would look at them like, what are you doing? You need to leave.
Yeah, there were some things in the beginning of the community that I remember that was like super outlandish, but it was like everyone just banded together and
none of those people agreed on
things like, oh, okay, we need to set up rules for discrimination and harassment, like these things. And I think people kind of saw the good part of that too, because we didn't. Yeah, but like, I mean, that we had the opportunity to actually implement those rules and like standards that other game communities now, it's like, well, okay, you're fighting against a community that's 10 years old. Now we can be the ones who started it, you know?
Yeah.
So there were some things I remember that happened in the beginning, but those events kind of slowly disappeared and the people that incited them left, you know, they weren't welcomed anymore. That was either, you know, racist or sexist or anything like that.
I got one final question before I let you guys go. I'm sure, Deeper, you're pretty tired.
I actually like some really strong espresso next to me, so I'm good now, but go on.
Well, what is your guys' future outlook for the game?
Do you want to go first, Shrimps?
Sure, yeah. So my future outlook for ARMS, I'll try and avoid talking about a sequel, but I think that's where this ends up. The online scene is not going to go away. We have new streamers every month who are getting on Twitch, starting new tournament series. I think an online community for ARMS will exist throughout the duration until we get a sequel. The offline is where the big question mark lies, because we are so tight-knit and so banded together that if somebody runs an offline and we feel that we can't get, you know, at least half of the community or half of the local community there, or like, let's say we think it's not worth it for the Japanese players to fly out to said tournament.
Sure.
Then as a group, we don't really advertise that tournament or go after it with the same ambition that we would if we knew that all the international players were coming, like, oh, this is a major, everybody's gonna show up to this one. So it's bridging that gap between running an offline and running an offline major, and trying to fill that gap with players. That is going to take work to keep it alive offline.
Yeah, and as for me, I mean, if it wasn't obvious, I'm based in Sweden, so my situation is a bit different. But the locals and the FGC in general in Europe is smaller than it is in NA and in Japan. And pretty much anywhere, I'd say, most of the places at least. And for me, it's been all about kind of supporting a bigger area than just like Stockholm and like the capital in Sweden. It's just now I've been trying to gather people from Scandinavia. And now just before this, we had a tournament for Europe. And I think I will be continuing to kind of support that as much as I can, just these kind of smaller events that come to the region rather than my town, perhaps, because it's harder to build from scratch in Stockholm. There is 1 million people, and that's the biggest city in the country. Yeah. so it's like, yeah, it's going to be difficult to kind of build it on off of that, but the future of it for me, maybe no locals. I'm going to help as much as I can within Europe, but I'm probably just going to kind of support the online scene as much as I can. And then, well, you know, we were not gonna say anything about the sequel, but if there is one, then, you know, we know what we're doing and we can do it even better than when we started with ARMS. So I feel more confident, whatever happens then.
Well, thanks guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Glad we could talk ARMS, talk about how the community works, talk about, you know, how you guys are going to grow and, you know, play those mind games. Figure out what mind games you got to play to make sure that you guys are doing the best you can.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, Defer, Scrimps, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
this
you.
Should be up hopefully by the end of the day, if not tomorrow. And we will have Insane in the Rain music. Play us out. All right. One more thing. Obviously, the schedule is a little different. It'll all be back to normal soon, I promise. Peace. Thank you.